It is our church's agenda to try to add value to everyone who attends here in multiple areas of your life. We just had a marriage night. It was just awesome, wasn't it? This Saturday, we're having a business breakfast. And at this business breakfast, you can network with other Christians who are in business. You can tell them about your business, and you can learn about their business. It might be people that you sit by in church that might want to do business with you. We're going to have a couple people tell us about their business, and I'm going to do a short lesson from a book called The Seven Disciplines of a Leader. I believe you could make good connections, and I trust you, the food is good, and who knows what might come of it. So I encourage you, if you would like to expand your business network, sign up and come this Saturday, and I just think it'll be great. Our dear Heavenly Father, we are aware that we need to make changes in our life. The problem isn't that we aren't aware. The problem is that we often don't have the skills to make the changes we need to make. And I pray this morning that you would show us that the glory of Christ is a change agent in our life. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know how it happened, but I got bombarded in life with the message that change is easy. You just make up your mind and change. Anybody, you kind of heard that message, just change. Just decide to change and change. Well, okay. Not true. If change was easy, we would all do it. Change is not easy. And in some cases, it's near to impossible. I know you see on TV, you take this magic pill and you'll lose 50 pounds in 5 minutes. Okay. Not true. If you wanna lose weight, you gotta change how you think about food. How much you eat, when you eat, what you eat, right? You got to change your thinking about food before you can change your waist size. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm going to go to bed a half hour early and get up a half hour earlier so I have an extra half hour in the morning? Anybody ever done that? Well, then that clock goes off that little extra half hour and, well, maybe I'll start tomorrow. Habits sneak into our lives, and then they hold us in a headlock. These external things are hard to change, but changing your character is even harder. Dieting is easy compared to changing your character. And it turns out that the people who study these things say there are three elements that raise the odds of you changing. One, you have to want to. My problem is I want key lime pie more than I want a trim tummy. I mean, let's just be honest. I want the one more than the other. The second is you have to have disciplined thought. Change begins in how you think. And it turns out the third one is your odds of changing go up if you have a partner or somebody who is working with you in the change, and you're not doing it all alone. Well, it turns out that God himself wants to be our partners in change. He wants to be your partner in change. And Paul wrote this. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Did you hear what Paul said? Paul said, if I look at Christ's glory properly, it changes me and makes me more glorious. It changes my character. The Holy Spirit says, you have to have the freedom to take down your pretenses. Isn't it true that even with God, we try to pretend we're better than what we are? Isn't it true? Or we hide behind, my schedule's too busy today. I don't have time for devotions. Now listen to what the Holy Spirit says. The Holy Spirit says, I want to set you free from the need to hide behind a veil, to hide behind a pretense, to hide behind a facade. The Holy Spirit says, I want to set you free so that you show your authentic soul to God. You know he sees it anyway, right? You know you're really not, the only one you're kidding is yourself. You see, pretending not to be jealous doesn't make jealousy go away. You can pretend all day long that you're not jealous of somebody at work, but there it is showing up in your head again and again and again and again, right? You can pretend you're not jealous of your neighbor's whatever, John Deere tractor. If my neighbor had a John Deere tractor, I would be jealous of it. Pretending doesn't create change. In fact, pretending keeps me from changing. I'm putting the effort into pretending and not into changing. I'm putting the energy into pretending and not into changing. And so the Holy Spirit says, I want to give you the freedom to simply be soul to soul with God. I want you to trust the goodness of God enough to say, I don't have to hide from God anymore. I'm going to be open and honest in my soul. You see, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'm not pretending. I'm being honest. Dear Lord, I had very ugly thoughts about this or that. Dear Lord, I spun the truth. I know I made it sound different than what it really was. I'm not hiding myself from you. Dear Lord, in spite of what I say to other people, I don't have well-being. Just opening up and being honest. Can you hear it? We stop hiding behind the veil. All right. And then Paul wrote, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Do you see what he says? When I'm not covering up, I'm not protecting, I'm not defending myself, and I honestly look at the glory of the Lord, something happens. Something of his glory rubs off on my soul. And little by little, I'm transformed into that glory. To change and be a better soul, I need a good model. And that model is the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. I introduced the book to you last week, Soul Care by Thomas More. Listen to what else More says. The soul is nurtured by beauty. The soul is nurtured by beauty. I'm sure eating broccoli will make you a more healthy person. And I'm also sure that beauty makes your soul a more healthy soul. And so when we speak about looking at the glory of Christ, there's something about the glory of Christ that nurtures the human soul. In the very same way that broccoli nurtures the human body, the glory of Christ nurtures the human soul. The human soul gets healthy in the glory of God. The human soul is strengthened. Christ is very different than the bad religious models that we've seen. You see, if I'm going to model my soul after someone, I don't want it to be after the wrong one. Church? Now let's be real honest about how the church makes mistakes. The church can't get better if we don't acknowledge our mistakes. Some of the angriest people I've ever seen, I saw at church. I've seen some angry people at church. I was in a business meeting once where two men stood up to fist fight in a church business meeting. Can I tell you, Christ does not model that kind of anger. Some of the harshest people I've ever met are Christians. You want to talk about the cancel culture? The secular culture learned it from Christians because we cancel each other at the drop of a hat. But Christ doesn't model that. Who was Christ ever harsh with? Who did he ever cancel? Somehow or another, the church models judgmental spirits. Judging people. Ooh, that person does that. Ooh, that person doesn't do this. We walk around with scrolls of rules and make little checklists on who's breaking what rule. Christ didn't model that. And the church can be merciless and graceless. Do not model yourself after what you learned in a dysfunctional church. Don't model yourself after what you learned from a dysfunctional person who called themselves a Christian. That is not the model. The model is the glory of Jesus Christ. And when I look at Christ, I see something very different than what I see in religion. I see a beautiful soul that is gracious and merciful, patient, consistent, and forgiving. When I see the glory of Christ, I see Christ's great soul saying, dude, I'm going to treat you better than what you deserve. When I see the glorious soul of Jesus Christ, I hear Christ say to me, I have kindness for you when you are most miserable. When I see the glory of Jesus Christ, I see Christ saying, I know you're messing up, but I have the patience for it. I'm not writing you off because you have come to me 5 times this week saying you're sorry for saying bad words. He is patient. When I look at the glory of Jesus Christ, he's consistent. He just shows up and shows up and shows up. Church? So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if we're going to change, then we need a model to change. That model is often not what you learned at church. In fact, the model is often very, very different from what you learned at church. The model is this glorious character of Jesus Christ. There's an interesting word in this verse. It's the only time that it's used in the New Testament. Let me read the verse again. For we all with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord. All right. The word that gets translated beholding is literally to look at in a mirror. Now, let's work this out together. You know you can't see your face directly. You can only see your reflection, right? You can't see your own face. You can only see the reflection of your face in a mirror. All right. And it turns out that we commonly use the word reflection for contemplation. I am reflecting on an experience I had. I am reflecting on a problem I have, right? So, what is he actually saying? He's actually saying, we take down the veil, we stop hiding from God, and then we start reflecting on the glory of the Lord. We begin contemplating the glory of the Lord. We actually get quiet on the inside and think about what it is about Jesus Christ that is beautiful and glorious and upright and good. Now, if you've tried to do this, you know it isn't easy. So here's what happens when I do it. I think about God a little bit, and then my ADD brain just goes wherever it wants. Next thing I know, I'm thinking about Ohio State football. All right? Then I reel myself back in, and I get back on track, and I start thinking, all right, the next thing I know, I'm thinking about vacation. Okay. It's really, really difficult to concentrate, especially when you're contemplating something abstract. So our friend John Owen says, glancing is okay. You see, I'm glancing at the glory of Christ. I look at it a little bit, I get distracted, I look away, but I turn my gaze back and I glance again. All right, I want to model this for you. Yesterday afternoon, I sat in my recliner. My ridiculously awesome dog spooged herself up in the recliner like she fits there. All right. And I said to myself, I'm going to think through Jesus's parable of the vineyard. And so in my mind, I just started telling myself that story. Well, I got interrupted here and I got interrupted there and I went off, but I kept going back and telling myself the story. Then I said, what character issues do I learn from Christ in this story? So, did I think solidly about Christ for an hour? No, I didn't. I got off track. I daydreamed. But I kept hauling myself back and glancing and glancing and glancing. Okay. And I'm not going to scold myself for that. In fact, I'm going to say every glance, something good about Christ rubs off on me. Church. Here's what Owen is saying. Every time you even glance at Jesus Christ, something good happens. And I don't have to do it alone, because the verse says, and this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will help me do this. By helping me think about Christ, he helps me change. Do you see it, church? Now I want to say, the proof that Jesus Christ is beautiful is people like you and I, something of his glory rubbing off on us, and people see our beautiful thoughts and our beautiful souls instead of angry religion, instead of judgmental religion, instead of harshness. Do you hear this? The best advertisement for Jesus Christ in the world is not another set of rules. It is a beautiful soul. The best advertisement for Jesus Christ in the world is not another liturgy, not another set of rituals. It is a beautiful soul. It is a soul that's gracious and merciful and patient and kind and gentle. And when people see that, they're actually seeing reflections of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Contemplation, not rules, create a beautiful soul. All right, I have to skip a couple verses. This is a long argument that Paul is making. So now I'm skipping from the end of chapter 3 to the verse 4 in chapter 4. Paul says, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Why is it, if this is true, more people don't have healthy souls? Paul's going to answer that argument. If contemplating Christ is what makes a healthy and beautiful soul, why is it that more people don't have beautiful souls? Well, Paul says in his argument, there's a problem. The God of this world has blinded their minds to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I can be blinded to the glory of Christ. And when I'm blinded to the glory of Christ, it doesn't have the changing effect on me. I can't change what I won't acknowledge. So what is it that the God of this world uses to blind our minds to the glory of Christ? Well, let's start with materialism. Materialism can blind me to the glory of Christ. You see? You don't have to answer out loud. Just be honest with yourself. What do you think is more valuable? 100 1-ounce coins? Or a soul that is genuinely good? You don't even have to tell anybody your answer. But be honest with yourself. If you could trade never becoming a really healthy soul to have a house in Boca Raton whatever car you want in the garage, would you do it? See what happens? We get blinded. We begin to value material things beyond what their value really is. And it blinds us to the true value of the human soul. I hope you really believe you're not taking anything with you except who you are. Everything you have, you only lease. The one thing you have that you truly will never lose is your soul, church. And the quality and the value of your soul cannot be lost by materialism. Here's something else. The glory of Christ is blinded by an unsustainable pace in living. Some of you are living too fast to have a soul that can look at Christ, because that doesn't happen quickly. That takes time. That takes slow down time, church. You get up in the morning, you start running full blast, you run full blast all day, you get to the end of your day, you're worn out, you fall asleep in the recliner, somebody wakes you up, you go up to bed, you get up in the morning, and you do it all again, and you do it again, and again, and again, and again. You don't just do it when you're working, you do it when you're vacationing, you have a compulsive reaction to quiet. And it blinds us to the glory of Jesus Christ. Church, you can't see the glory of Jesus Christ when you're living 1,000 miles an hour. Here's another one. Our cultural myths blind us to the glory of Jesus Christ. Do you really believe you just can't miss that favorite show of yours? What would happen? So what? Some of you can't see the glory of Christ because the time that you should give to the glory of Christ, you can't miss your favorite show. I mean, it's my favorite show. Don't be so radical. Church? We're blinded to the glory of Christ because of anti-spiritual bias. There is an anti-spiritual bias in the world. I'm not just talking about anti-Christian. I'm talking about anti-spiritual bias. Every one of us have felt uncomfortable because secular people around us created an environment that made us feel somehow or another uncomfortable because we're people of faith. Am I right? Church? Have you? Or have you hidden your faith so well they think you're one of them? Isn't it true that all of us have found ourselves in a situation where the people around us had an anti-spiritual bias and it made us uncomfortable? We can't or won't take time to contemplate, and so we are blinded to the glory of the beauty of Christ. And in this verse, we have another word that's only used one time. That looking in a mirror word only used one time in the whole New Testament. This word for to keep them from seeing, this is only used one time in the word. It's only used one time in the New Testament. It is a very specific word. It's not a general word. It's a very specific word that means to see very clearly, to see with absolute clarity. Algasai. And what is he saying? The God of this world, materialism, unsustainable pace, cultural myths, anti-spiritual bias, anything you want to name, doesn't keep me from seeing Christ. It just keeps me from seeing him clearly enough that his glory changes me. Pagans can tell you stories about Jesus, church. It's not that they don't know anything about Jesus. The point is not that you never hear the name Jesus. The point is the way you're living keeps you from ever seeing Christ clearly enough for something of who he is to rub off on you. I think that's true of a lot of Christians. I think a lot of Christians want something of Christ in their life, but they're still blinded to the glory of the Lord. So no thinking, no change. Bad thinking, you change for the worst. Fill your mind with bad thoughts and you get worse. Good thinking leads to divine likeness. By thinking properly about the glory of Christ, I become a little more like him and a little more like him and a little more like him. Now, in our congregation, we have people who like to hear the original. This is what John Owen wrote. Those whose view is steadfast, who most abound in that contemplation by the exercise of faith, are thereby changed into the same image from glory to glory, or are more and more renewed and transformed into the likeness of God. This is what Owen is saying. The more consistently you do this, the more you concentrate when you contemplate Christ, the faster the change happens. The more I think about Christ, and the more clearly I think about Christ, the more profound effect he has on my soul, and little by little, I change into his image. I become like the model. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Christ's sake. Here's the problem. We all have to admit we're in the change process, and none of us are a model for other people. The deadly problem of religion, we make ourselves the model. Be like me. We proclaim our opinions and our practices and not the glory of Christ. I want to be perfectly clear, church. I am not the model for this church. The model for this church is Jesus Christ. I want to be perfectly clear. I'm trying to be a Christian just like every one of you. I'm trying to get glimpses of the glory of Christ. I'm trying to be transformed into a better man. I am not your model. Jesus Christ is your model. I'm telling you right now, if I'm your model, I'm going to disappoint you. You're going to end up going to another church and telling them I'm a jerk. But if Jesus Christ is your model, you're never going to be disappointed. In fact, if Jesus Christ is your model, you got a bright future. The glory of the Lord is a beautiful thing, church. Contemplate Christ's dignity and serve people. When I think I have arrived, I'm the problem. When I'm changing, when I'm seeing the glory of Christ, when I'm being transformed, I become part of God's good work in the world. We do not preach ourselves as the example, as the model. We preach Jesus Christ. Verse 6, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Since soul change is so hard, we can't do it alone. God himself enlightens our human soul. When I'm contemplating Christ, I'm not doing it alone. God himself is in action. It's not just me trying to think about Christ. God himself enlightens us. And we have the symbolism of light and darkness. What is darkness? It's ignorance. It's shame. It's covering. It's unhealthy soul life. The God who said, my light is going to shine into your ignorance, into your shame, into your covering up, into your unhealthy soul. And the result is going to be enlightenment, dignity, openness, and a healthy soul. God shines in our souls. What does the verse say? He enlightens, he teaches us knowledge, and he reveals his dignity. All right. What happens when I'm thinking about Christ and God himself acts to enlighten me? The first thing is my understanding changes. I understand Christ in a different way. You get it? God enlightens me and my understanding of Christ changes. The second thing is he teaches knowledge. God gives us new thoughts. He helps us to think thoughts we wouldn't have thought by ourselves. And then the third thing is he reveals his dignity. God shows us the quality of his personhood. I'm telling you, the better you see Christ, the more you want to be around him. Isn't it true? You who know God, the better you see Christ, the more you want to be around him. He's just awesome. How does God enlighten us? In the face of Jesus Christ. He helps us to contemplate all of this excellence through the character, the work, and the teaching of Jesus Christ. So, if I think properly about Jesus Christ, if I contemplate him, if I reflect on who he is, what he did, what he teaches, God is at work in ways I don't clearly understand. And as I contemplate the glory of Christ, God transfers some of that glory of Christ into the human soul. And we become more and more like the one we're thinking about. Change to be like God is possible, and you don't have to do it alone. But you do have to contemplate the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our dear Heavenly Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will do what only he can do and trigger a new interest in all of our hearts, a new interest of the glory of Christ. I pray for myself. I pray for everyone here. I pray for all our friends who are online. I ask that your Holy Spirit right now would whisper over our hearts, and we would feel an inclination to have some quiet time, soul to soul, with Jesus Christ, and to think about the glorious life he lived, to think about his glorious character, to think about his glorious teaching. And then I pray in your own holy way, you would make that contemplating of Christ a transforming experience, and little by little, we would become more and more like him. In Christ's name, amen.